I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. Tonight, our speaker is in the person of Brother Stephen Wiggin. He's been preaching for 35 years, minister of the Church of Christ there in San Augustine, Texas. Brother Wiggin, I need you to make it about the eternal hell. Can you do that for me?
Thank you, Brother Brooks. I do appreciate it. I thank you for the opportunity to be before this great audience, and certainly it is my prayer that the lesson will be profitable and beneficial to each of us as we reflect upon God's divine will together. I'm going to address you tonight in regard to what the Bible says about the eternal hell. There is a place called hell. The word Gehenna is used in the Greek New Testament a dozen times. 12 times it is used. Jesus uses that term every time with one exception. James uses it in James chapter 3. But that word Gehenna is translated hell in the English translation. So if we're looking for a preacher in the Bible that preached on hell more than any other preacher, it would be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus preached on the subject of hell, not because he wanted people to go there, but because he did not want people to go there. And what I want us to do here tonight is to cultivate and strengthen our conviction in the Bible as the Word of God on every Bible subject, including the topic of hell. Jesus preached on it. Jesus taught it. God revealed information on it as a warning for us not to go there. Some years ago, I read about a survey, a questionnaire that was put out to 500 denominational preachers and theologians and teachers in the denominational world. And there were 500 questions on this survey, and one of the questions had to do with the biblical doctrine of hell and whether or not hell was eternal, whether or not hell was everlasting, whether or not hell lasted forever and ever and ever. And surprisingly, 69% of those 500 denominational preachers did not believe in the biblical doctrine of hell as it is portrayed upon the pages of the Bible. Now, I want you to appreciate the fact, friends, that that is almost 70% of religious teachers. We're not talking about atheists. We're not talking about skeptics. We're not talking about Bible bashers that went through this survey, this questionnaire. We're talking about those who call themselves preachers and teachers and theologians and Sunday school teachers. We're talking about people who supposedly believe the Bible as the Word of God, as the inspired Word of God. And yet almost 70% of them denied the biblical doctrine of hell. So what I want you to do tonight is just to accept the Bible at face value. Accept what Jesus said. Accept what God revealed. Accept the information that we have upon the pages of the Bible, and don't allow society to dictate what you believe about what God has said. In the Sermon on the Mount, for example, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 22, Jesus says, "But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell of fire." Notice here that Jesus is not talking privately to some citizens. He's not talking to those in a seminar that have paid to hear a speaker. He's speaking to the multitudes. He's speaking to the world. He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He's declaring God's divine will in regard to the danger of the hell of fire. That's what Jesus said. Later in that same sermon, in Matthew 5, verse number 29, Jesus said, "If thy right eye causeth thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand causeth thee to stumble, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should go into hell." Notice again that Jesus is preaching on the subject of hell. He's preaching a sermon on hell. He brings it up to the multitude. And that's what we should be doing today. We should be preaching the whole counsel of God. We should be warning people to escape the eternal hell, the danger of hell that Jesus mentions. Later in Matthew chapter 10, in verse number 28, Jesus says, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We have to have a reverential fear and respect for God. Why? Because he is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Later in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 15, Jesus is exposing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders. And in chapter 23 and verse number 15, Jesus says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he has become so, you make him twofold more a child of hell than yourself. Jesus says these Jewish leaders, these hypocritical leaders, were making converts. They were making proselytes. And when they do so, they were making them into a child of hell. A child of hell is somebody that is on the highway to hell. Later in that same chapter, in verse number 33, Jesus once again says, ye serpents, ye offspring of vipers. That's how he characterizes the hypocrisy of the Jewish leaders. He says, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? Notice there that Jesus speaks of the damnation, the condemnation of hell. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus preached. The Son of God did so because he did not want people to be condemned for eternity in hell. I heard of a guy one time, a gospel preacher. He claimed to be a gospel preacher. He said that he was not comfortable, that he was not comfortable in preaching about an eternal hell. Well, guess what, friends? It doesn't matter what you are comfortable with. That's not what we need to emphasize. That's not where our thought and our focus needs to be. It's not about what you are comfortable with, what I am comfortable with. What is important and what is significant is what God says within his word. Jesus preaches about the hell of fire. He preaches about the damnation of hell. That's what Jesus did. Why? Because he does not want us to go there. Later in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 beginning, the Bible depicts the judgment scene where Jesus comes in all of his glory and sets upon the throne of his glory. And all nations shall be gathered together before him. And he shall begin to separate them one from another as a shepherd separated the sheep from the goats. The sheep on the right, the goats on the left. Jesus in verse 41 then addresses the goats on the left, which is representative of those who have rejected God, ignored God, disobeyed God, and lived their lives as if God did not exist. He says to them in regard to their final destination, then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Notice there that the wicked, the unrighteous, along with the devil and his whole cohorts, his angels, they are banished into the eternal fire. Later, in verse number 46, Jesus characterizes it like this, and these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Notice there that hell and the destiny of hell and the abode of hell is described and characterized as eternal fire. Notice in verse 46 that it is characterized as eternal punishment. The word eternal or eternal there relates duration. Hell will last forever and ever and ever and ever. There will never be an end to hell. In fact, in verse number 46, he uses that term eternal twice. The first time, it modifies the word punishment. The second time, it modifies the word life. These shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Eternal life is a reference to the heavenly abode and the duration of the heavenly abode. If heaven lasts forever, then pray tell, how long does hell last? Hell lasts through eternity just as heaven does. If a person is going to deny the eternal aspect of hell, then they should also, in order to be consistent, deny the eternal aspect of heaven. Hell will last as long as heaven will. Heaven is said to be eternal. Hell is said to be eternal. That's why we preach on the eternal nature of hell. Because a lot of times, people come to these passages and they say, well, hell does exist. Hell does exist for the unrighteous and the wicked and the disobedient, but there is nothing eternal about it. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible refers to this language as the eternal fire, the eternal punishment. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus refers to hell and the hell of fire which is unquenchable, the fire which cannot be quenched. Don't be like the guy who knowed he was on the highway to hell. He had been disobedient to God all of his life. He knew that he wasn't going to heaven. And he knew that when he died, he was going to bust the gates of hell wide open. He planned to build him a casket, a personal casket, with plenty of room in it for a fire extinguisher, mind you. He planned to go to hell, and he planned to take his fire extinguisher with him. But friends, that will not work. Why? Because God said the fire cannot be quenched. He said that hell is composed of a fire that is unquenchable. There is no fire extinguisher that man can make, that man can invent, that will put out the fires of hell. It is eternal fire. It is eternal conscious punishment. Jesus said there shall be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Now, what I want us to do tonight, friends, as I mentioned earlier, is to accept what the Bible says, to accept it at face value. God reveals the doctrine of heaven, his goodness, his mercy, his kindness, his love, his grace, and his willingness to forgive mankind. But that same God, who is a God of goodness and graciousness and mercy, also can exhibit wrath. He also can be a God of wrath. And there has been a place prepared for the devil, a place prepared for the angels, a place prepared for the wicked, the disobedient, the unrighteous, and those who live their life daily as if God did not exist. And it's a place called hell. And it is characterized as an eternal fire. It is said to be, on the pages of the Bible, eternal punishment. If you believe in heaven, then I want you to believe in hell. Because the same God on the same page of the Bible speaks of heaven, it also speaks of hell. It speaks of eternal life, it also speaks of eternal punishment. But there are people in our society today that deny it, that reject it. They repudiate what the Bible says. I'm thinking, first of all, of those who refer to themselves as the Seventh-day Adventists. I'm thinking of another group that call themselves the Jehovah's Witnesses. They do not believe in the eternal aspect of hell. They believe when the unrighteous die that they go into oblivion, that they simply cease to exist. It's called annihilation. It's called the doctrine of annihilation, and it is false. That is not what the Bible teaches. Jesus says on the last day, all that are in their graves shall hear my voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, that is the resurrection to eternal life, the resurrection to the eternal home in heaven. But also Jesus says at that same moment, some will be resurrected unto damnation, condemnation. Now, if we're going to believe Jesus' statement in John 5:28-29, that some are resurrected to go to heaven, we've got to believe, in order to be consistent, in order to be Bible believers, that some will be resurrected unto damnation, unto condemnation. The Jehovah's Witnesses reject that. The Seventh-day Adventists reject that. The atheists reject it. The liberal theologians reject it. But the Bible is clear. The Bible is plain. Jesus taught it to the multitudes. Jesus taught it to the Jewish leaders. Jesus taught it to individuals that listened to him in his day, in his public ministry, and it's recorded upon the pages of the Bible for us to reiterate and emphasize today that there is such a place called hell. There is such a reality as a place called the eternal fire that consists of eternal punishment. And what you and I want to do, friends, is comply with the will of God, the word of God, that we might go to heaven, that we might spend eternity in the very presence of God, and that we might avoid the horrors and the tragedies of hell. One of the things about hell is not only is it eternal, not only does it involve punishment, but it involves the very absence of God. Jesus will say on the last day, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." That is, leave my presence, go away from me. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, that those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be punished with everlasting destruction. from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Notice that everlasting destruction. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction, the weeping and the gnashing of teeth and the regret of a lifetime of not complying with the will of God, the word of God, and leaving the Christian life to one's ability and walking in the light of God's divine will, that the blood of Jesus might cleanse us from all sin. Hell is real. Jesus said so. Jesus preached it. Why? Because he does not want us to go there. He wants us to spend eternity in the very presence of God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the angelic beings and the redeemed of every age. God does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. God would have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth and thus to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4-5. Jesus tasted death for every man by the grace of God. Hebrews 2:9. God does not want us to be lost. God does not want us to go to hell. God does not want us to be a part of that eternal fire, that lake that burns with fire and brimstone. God does not want us to suffer eternal punishment. But he promises us that we will if we do not comply with his divine will and live a life of preparation that we might hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now we set thee over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Hell is real. Hell is biblical. The eternal aspect of hell is underscored and emphasized upon the pages of the Bible. The damnation of hell, the fire that is unquenchable, the eternal fire, the eternal punishment. It's all right there in black and white upon the pages of the Bible. I'm not glad that people are going to hell. I'm not glad that people have rejected God. I'm not glad that people will be punished throughout eternity. I'm not glad, as Paul certainly was not, when he mentioned the everlasting punishment away from the presence of the Lord. I'm not glad that that will happen. But since hell is real, and since people will be eternally lost, and since people will be tormented in hell forever and ever and ever, I'm glad that God revealed it upon the pages of the Bible. I'm glad that he warns us. I'm glad that he informs us. I'm glad that he teaches us. I'm glad that he has informed us that we might act upon the principle of faith and go to heaven and avoid the horrors of hell. I am sad to announce that there have been brethren, even within the Lord's church, who over the years have denied this biblical doctrine. In 1982, for example, there was a man by the name of Edward Fudge, who was an elder of the Bering Road Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, who published a book, The Fire That Consumes, who denied the very things that we're talking about here. Brother Fudge, for example, said in the preface of his book, he said, and I quote, "Scripture teaches the nature of that everlasting punishment to be utter extinction into oblivion forever," end of quote. He said that hell is nothing more than extinction. Hell is nothing more than extinction into oblivion forever. That is, a person ceases to exist. A person passes into non-existence. They are annihilated. I tell you tonight, brethren, that that is nothing more than regurgitated Jehovah's Witness doctrine. It was false in 1982 when Brother Fudge published his book, and it's false today. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches eternal, everlasting punishment. Brother Fudge went on to reiterate that in other books as well. There have been brethren over the years that have taught false doctrine in regard to this particular subject. One was a popular preacher years ago by the name of Brother Jimmy Allen. Jimmy Allen maintained that he had baptized more than any other preacher in the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ. 8,500 people, he claims. And yet, when he published his autobiography in 2004, Brother Allen said that he no longer believed what he had formerly preached for 25 years. Brother Allen had preached a sermon entitled, "What is Hell Like?" He had actually put it in a tract. Later, he put it in a book of sermons, that sermon, "What is Hell Like?" And later, however, after 25 years, he would not allow that tract to be republished. He would not republish his book. And even said in his autobiography on page 220, and I quote, He says, I sometimes wish I had never presented the sermon. He's talking about the sermon, What is Hell Like? And I want to tell you why he regretted that. Listen to it. I'm quoting from him. In the sermon, he says, concerning the eternal nature of hell, he says, my friend, I quote, my friend, there's not one single solitary argument that a man can make against the Bible doctrine of hell which cannot be applied with equal force against the Bible doctrine of heaven. Because the same word, now that word is eternal he's talking about, the word eternal. Because the same word used to modify hell's punishment is also used to qualify the bliss and happiness of heaven. How long then is the punishment going to last in hell, he asked. It's going to last eternally or everlastingly. The punishment will continue forever and ever and ever. I'm still quoting him. The same argument which is used to get rid of the Bible doctrine of hell can be applied with equal force against the Bible doctrine of heaven, end of quote. That's in his tract, What is Hell Like, on page 3. Brother Allen, a brother in the Lord, mind you, a brother in the Lord's church, maintained that heaven and hell last forever and ever and ever, the same duration, based upon Matthew 25 and verse number 46, where Jesus says, and these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And later, sadly, tragically, Brother Allen regretted ever having preached that sermon. I ask you tonight, friends and neighbors, who changed and what changed? Not the Word of God. God didn't change. God didn't reveal these passages on the eternal nature of hell and then later change it sometimes about 2004, 2005, or earlier when Brother Allen wrote his book. No, that didn't happen. The Bible didn't change. The Word of God is still the same. I'll tell you who changed. Listen to me. I'll tell you who changed. It's mankind. It's these guys who say they no longer feel comfortable in preaching on the doctrine of hell. Well, I got something to tell you, friends. It's not about what you're comfortable with. It's not about what I'm comfortable with. It's not what about the preachers are comfortable with. It's about what God says within his word. And if we're not comfortable with what God says within his word, I'm telling you, we better get busy. We better get ready. And we better start being comfortable with what God has revealed upon the pages of the Bible. I preach on the doctrine of hell. I preach on the eternal nature of hell. I preach that hell is everlasting, that it is an eternal fire, that it is an eternal punishment, that it is a fire that is unquenchable. I preach that there is punishment and torment and anguish and the weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know why? Because that's what God has revealed, and that is what the Son of God preached. Who do we think we are? Who do, with the gall and the audacity to tell God that we're no longer going to preach his word? And that we may have preached it for 25 years and then later regret it. Brethren, I'm telling you, that is not only wrong, it is a doctrine and an attitude that in turn will send us to hell. We better get right. We better preach the word. We better preach the Bible. Hell exists. I want to avoid it. I want to go to heaven. I want to spend eternity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to go to heaven, but I also want to avoid hell. And the way that I can do that is to make proper preparation this side of eternity. I must confess my faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. He died for our sins. He was buried and rose the third day and ascended back into heaven to sit down at the right hand of God to serve as our mediator, our advocate, our high priest, and our intercessor. He now pleads our case before the great I Am, the Heavenly Father. We must believe that concerning Jesus Christ. We must be willing to confess our faith in him. Repent of our sins. Turn from our sins with remorse. And turn to God, appropriating the blessings of redemption and salvation through that consummating, culminating act of gospel obedience. We must be immersed in the watery grave of baptism to be raised to walk in newness of life. Notice, brethren, that the gospel contains good news. The word gospel means good news. But sometimes good news comes in the form of a warning. Sometimes good news comes in the form of a warning. Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, what's the warning? He that believeth not shall be damned. There's the damnation of hell right there in the Great Commission. It is good news in the form of a warning. Once I obey the gospel and I'm baptized into Christ, into the death of Christ, and into the body of the church of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, I must live faithfully in a dedicated, devoted fashion. I must be loyal. I must exhibit allegiance to God and to the Word of God. God will strengthen me. God will be with me as I live the Christian life. I can live the Christian life in a faithful way. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be sinless, but I can be faithful. I can be loyal. I can show allegiance to God. And when I stand before God in the last day, I will be set on the right side with the sheep. And the Bible says that I will hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will set thee over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. If I'm not among that number that hear that, then there's only one other place to be, and that's with the goats. And Jesus will say to the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. We've got to make the right choice. We've got to make the right decision. We've got to embrace the scheme of God, the plan of God. We've got to obey the gospel. We've got to live the Christian life. We've got to appropriate the blessings of redemption through the precious blood of Christ. God has made that all available in his mercy, his love, his grace, his kindness, and his genuine concern for our spiritual welfare. But it's up to me to make the right choice, the right decision, to obey the gospel, and to live the Christian life, and to be a faithful member of the one body, the one church that is mentioned on the pages of the New Testament, the Church of Christ. We encourage you, make the right choices, make the right decisions, embrace the will of God, embrace the Word of God, know what the Bible says about heaven, and know what the Bible says about hell. Be motivated to be the type of man and woman, boy and girl that God wants you to be, that you in turn might spend eternity with Him. I thank you so very much for listening to this lesson tonight on the biblical doctrine of hell and its eternal nature. And I bid you Godspeed, and I wish you the very best. Thank you for listening. Good night.